the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. UC Davis is working on a project aimed to decrease the number of fatalities and severity of injuries in ATV accidents for youth in the ag industry. For this project, access to ATVs on farms is needed. If you'd like to find out more information on how to participate or the project in general, contact Farzana Korsandi, who's the Assistant Safety and Health Engineering Specialist in Cooperative Extension at 530-752-7848. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about funding that's being made available to support California specialty crops. Also, there's still time to apply for the Drought Relief Waterbird Program. We've got the details on how you can participate. Before we hear those reports, I'm starting off today's show with a California crop and weather roundup. Let's jump right in. Across the state, fires burn, temperatures remain hot, and crops continue to grow. Last week, the state experienced temperatures as high as in the hundreds along the coast, in the valley, and the desert. According to CAL FIRE, there are 15 fires currently burning. In the Central Valley, alfalfa continues to be cut, dried, and baled, and groundwork continues for fall plantings. In Sacramento Valley, rice and sunflower harvest began, and in the San Joaquin Valley, cotton bolls were cracking and corn was getting chopped for silage. Lots of harvest was happening for fruit crops, including nectarines, plums, prunes, figs, pears, and pluots. Also in harvest are table and wine grapes, gala apples, and various types of citrus. Some citrus groves were being sprayed with sun protectant. Pomegranates, kiwis, olives, and persimmons were developing nicely, and peach harvest was wrapping up. Almonds, walnuts, and pistachios were being harvested, and some orchards were treated for weeds. Much like fruits, harvest was happening for many vegetables around the state, including processing tomatoes, melons, sweet potatoes, onions, peppers, and summer squash. Also, pumpkin fields were being sprayed for pests. Non-irrigated rangeland remains in poor condition, and ranchers continue to bring water in and supplement for feed for their livestock. This information was provided by USDA's NASS California Crop and Weather Report. And now here's Brian German with back-to-back agriculture reports.
There's still time to apply for the Drought Relief Waterbird Program, which helps cover the cost of pumping groundwater on rice and wetlands to create habitat for birds. Wildlife Programs Manager for the California Rice Commission, Luke Matthews, describes some of the eligibility requirements and the types of things that will be taken into consideration when evaluating applications.
You have to have the infrastructure and ability to pump groundwater, but we know that groundwater is a limited resource on its own, so there are additional restrictions around that. So we are very cognizant of proximity to rivers and streams, for example, or other areas that are experiencing issues with municipal wells going dry or groundwater depletion zones. The other sort of exclusion zone that we have is around major airports. There's more sort of fine detail about what sort of post-harvest treatments we're looking for. And so we want to eliminate any sort of heavy tillage because that buries a lot of the waste grain, which is a key food source for waterfowl. So tillage is acceptable in this, but heavy tillage would exclude people from participating. We will evaluate all of this and, you know, we consider some of the factors we already talked about, but then we also factor in, you know, habitat value, the timing, you know, the amount of water and the cost, right? So all of that goes into our sort of selection process.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is accepting applications for two programs designed to benefit specialty crops. Proposals are being accepted for the 2022 Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. Proposals for the 2021 Specialty Crop Multi-State Program are also being accepted. Grant awards for the Block Grant Program will range between $100,000 to $500,000 per project. Concept proposals will need to be submitted electronically using the Financial Assistance Application Submittal Tool by Friday, October 8th. The Multi-State Program is designed to strengthen the competitiveness of specialty crops, with grant awards ranging between $250,000 to $1 million per project. The deadline to submit an application to CDFA is Thursday, November 4th. Participating states will have until December 6th to submit an application to USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, next week is National Farm Safety and Health Week. I've got details on how you can participate. Agriculture is still the most dangerous sector to work in, and that's according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. In 2019, the Bureau reported 573 fatalities, which is why the third week in September is a time to reflect on farm safety. National Farm Safety and Health Week starts on Monday the 20th and ends on the 24th. This year's theme is Farm Safety Yields Real Results. Each day of the week next week will focus on a specific area of health and safety, with Monday's emphasis on tractor and agriculture vehicle safety. Tuesday, we'll take a look at the overall health of the farmer. Wednesday's discussion will go over safety and health for youth in agriculture. Thursday, we'll focus on agriculture fertilizer and chemical safety. And Friday, we'll wrap up the week with a focus on safety and health for women in the industry. Two free webinars each day, hosted by AgriSafe, will go more in detail on each topic. To catch the webinars at your convenience, and for more information on National Farm Safety and Health Week, visit agrisafe.org. It's time for us to head out for our first break of the show, but we'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. American Farmland Trust just filled a new position on its policy team to tackle climate issues. Samantha Levy joins the policy team as climate policy manager to lead the organization's climate policy agenda. American Farmland Trust is preparing a multi-year strategy to advance transformational climate policy at the state and federal level, including the 2023 Farm Bill. In its most recent report, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change supported the mounting interest among policymakers in regenerative farming practices as a way to mitigate climate change. A report by American Farmland Trust demonstrates that widespread adoption of just two regenerative practices on U.S. farmland, cover crops and no-till, would sequester the carbon equivalent of removing up to 260 million automobiles from American roadways each year. Previously, Levy led AFT's climate work in New York, collaborating with farm and environmental groups to incorporate farmers into the state's Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Brian German for more local news.
The fall virtual legislative fly-in put together by the National Farmers Union is coming up September 20th through the 23rd. Farmers Union members will meet with their members of Congress to highlight their priorities, the challenges they're facing, and the goals for future legislation. In addition to meetings with congressional offices, there are a few general sessions that will be open to Farmers Union members and guests. On Tuesday, September 21st, a USDA and administration briefing is scheduled where updates from USDA leaders and the Biden administration will educate participants about how issues faced in rural America are being considered at the federal level. An online town hall and press conference is scheduled for Wednesday, September 22nd, which will focus on competition and antitrust and will include presentations from key leaders in Washington. More information about the Week of Advocacy can be found at nfu.org/fly-in. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, we told you last week that in response to the severe drought conditions here in the West and in the Great Plains, the U.S. Department of Agriculture plans to help cover the cost of transporting feed for livestock that rely on grazing. USDA will update their Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish program, otherwise known as ELAP, to immediately cover feed transportation costs for drought-impacted ranchers. Rod Binion has more details.
It is one of the programs available from the Agriculture Department to help livestock producers in the West and Great Plains mitigate the impacts of severe drought conditions.
The Emergency Livestock Assistance Program, called ELAP.
And Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack recently explained during a White House press briefing that through ELAP,
historically, we've always provided resources to farmers to be able to pay for the cost of hauling water to their facilities. If they had a situation with a drought and they needed to access additional water, there's a cost associated with that, and we helped to defer some of that expense.
Now, new adjustments at ELAP will also cover costs for the transport of feed for drought-impacted livestock that rely on grazing.
We know that these farmers, particularly in the western U.S., are going to be confronted with having to truck or rail feed from far distances, and that's going to be an incredibly increased cost to them. So we're going to use this emergency program to provide up to 60% of the additional costs that they're incurring above and beyond what they would normally incur for transportation expense. And for limited resource farmers, it could be as much as 90% of assistance and help.
ELAP is under the Farm Service Agency suite of programs. FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau explains some of the logistics involved with ELAP covering feed transportation costs of eligible producers.
This will trigger when the drought intensity is D2 for 8 consecutive weeks, or that drought intensity is D3 on the drought monitor,
or if USDA determines a shortage of local or regional feed availability. Additional details on how feed transportation cost assistance is determined include
a formula which will be established by the FSA and the USDA will be used to determine those reimbursement costs. We won't include the first 25 miles. We won't include distances over 1,000 miles because we have to have some type of cap on it. But we'll help producers figure out what that difference is and make a payment based on that amount.
Cost share assistance will also be made available to cover eligible costs in treating hay or feed to prevent spread of invasive pests like fire ants. Another eligibility requirement, producers must have incurred feed transportation costs after January 1st of this year. Applications for payment under this provision of ELAP must be submitted to local FSA offices by no later than January 30th, 2022. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod, and you can find more details at your local Farm Service Agency office. They'll be providing more details and tools to help ranchers get ready to apply at their local USDA service center later this month. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
President Biden spent most of Monday learning about and talking about the worsening wildfire situations. USDA's Gary Crawford has comments from President Joe Biden in this report.
I'm here to hear what's on your mind and what more that I should be doing, my administration be doing, to try to help.
President Biden talking with firefighters and others as he toured the government's interagency fire center in Boise, Idaho, Monday afternoon, then on to California to be briefed on the fire situation there and to survey one major fire from the air. Later, telling reporters in California that so far this year,
nationwide, over 44,000 wildfires have burned nearly 5,300,000 acres, roughly the size of the state of New Jersey.
He said part of the problem is that forest managers have not been given enough money over the years to do a good job of forest maintenance, including systematic removal of dead trees and dry brush. But he also said,
we can't ignore the reality that these wildfires are being supercharged by climate change,
which he says has to be dealt with in a big way. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And it's that time where we head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. The COVID-19 vaccine safety and efficacy are testaments to the science behind its development, and farm groups are urging farmers and ranchers to trust the science, just like they do for their animals and crops. Michael Clements has more.
Last month, a group of more than 30 agriculture organizations penned an open letter to their members, encouraging rural residents to get the COVID-19 vaccine. With kids heading back to school and fall calving season and harvest on the horizon, getting the vaccine protects your family and your farm from downtime. Dr. Scott Steinecker, infectious diseases physician and healthcare epidemiologist from Fort Wayne, Indiana, says getting the vaccine is your best protection against the highly contagious Delta variant.
It is very interesting when you look at Delta virus. The amount of virus excreted by this infection is nearly 1,000 times more than the amount that we recovered with Alpha virus. So a booster vaccine can really help boost that amount of initial protection and help you from getting that initial COVID infection. Having had the previous vaccines will still prevent you from developing the serious signs and symptoms of COVID infection. And although you may get sick, you're more likely to have more like a cold than you are to have serious disease or require hospitalization.
Dr. Steinecker says the Delta variant is attacking younger people, including children.
And we really see the amount of damage and disease is far higher. We think in part because it's so much more transmissible. We know that physical distancing is still very helpful. Wearing a mask is incredibly helpful in terms of reducing that risk. Also, washing hands is so very important. But the vast majority of cases, between 93 and 97% that have occurred, have been in those people without vaccination. So it's so very important for those who are unvaccinated to get vaccinated.
Dr. Steinecker says any side effects of the vaccine far outweigh symptoms of COVID-19 and only last for a day or two. And the science behind the vaccine has existed for decades.
This is a fascinating technology that has been around now for a couple of decades and has been used in some other kinds of illnesses, such as the Ebola vaccine, and has been shown to be very effective. Once SARS-CoV-1 came around, the vaccine was already in production at that time, though never made it to market, and was put on the shelf until SARS-CoV-2 came out, so there was a lot of background work already done. Our government did a great job by cutting a lot of the red tape, go straight to build large batches, and we'll take care of all of that red tape, but none of the critical steps necessary to assure vaccine safety were shortened or skipped.
Dr. Steinecker says the safety and efficacy of the vaccine is shown in the numbers.
71% of adults have received one of the COVID-19 vaccines in the United States, and that's more than 195 million people here in the U.S. But when you look globally, we're talking nearly 3.4 billion people have received a vaccine of one form or another. And that's just a tremendous number of people that would allow us to detect whether or not there are significant safety issues. The messenger RNA vaccines are without a doubt the most effective, safest vaccines ever created, ever, in the history of the world.
Finally, long-term COVID issues can include fatigue and brain fog. Dr. Steinecker says more than 600 people have been referred to the long-haul clinic at his hospital in Fort Wayne.
And it appears that these symptoms are going to last a long time, possibly even years, leading to the potential for long-term disability. It's looking like 10 to 20% of the workforce is going to be out with long-haul COVID. The most important things we can do right now to protect ourselves against this are going to be masking, hand washing, distancing, and then most importantly, get your COVID vaccine. Remember, just about the time this peak is going to wind down, we're expecting influenza to hit hard. So it's a really good idea. Get your flu shot now, because not only are we expecting flu to hit hard, but we also see that the flu vaccine appears to have a protective effect against COVID as well.
Visit with your doctor to discuss the COVID-19 vaccine and visit vaccines.gov for more information. Michael Clements reporting.
And it's that time where we head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or if you simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide and national agriculture news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Farm City Newsday on your favorite podcast downloading app. That's Farm City Newsday. It's available on both Apple and Android devices. Again, stay tuned. We'll be back with more agriculture news. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. U.S. tractor sales increased last month compared to 2020, while combine sales jumped 19.8%, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers' monthly sales report. Combine sales posted the second month in a row of growth near 20% in the United States, and total farm tractor sales climbed 9.9%. Sub-40 horsepower tractor sales were up 8.7%, and mid-sized 40 to 100 horsepower sales were up 5.4%. Heavy-duty units saw significant growth, with the articulated four-wheel drive segment leading the way for the fourth straight month by climbing 40.4% to 306 units sold. Year-to-date, farm tractor sales remain up 13.3% and combines up 13.8%. For Canada, total farm tractor sales were up 1.9% and combine sales were up 28.7%. AEM's Kurt Blade states, quote, "Farmers investing in more of these big machines is another indicator of that farmer optimism we've been seeing," unquote. Gasoline and diesel prices slipped in the last week as refineries recover from Hurricane Ida. However, Tropical Storm Nicholas threatens refineries in the Houston area and could cause further declines this week. The weekly average gas price fell 1.9 cents per gallon to $3.15, and the average diesel price slipped less than a half a cent to $3.29 per gallon. GasBuddy analyst Patrick DeHaan states, quote, "While Nicholas could appear to be a minor storm, we could see a deluge of water, the same issue that caused some significant damage in Ida's wake to refineries in Louisiana," unquote. Meanwhile, gasoline demand continues to decline for the fourth straight week in a row as the summer driving season ends. Nationally, weekly gasoline demand fell 1.8% from the prior week. Crude oil prices are upward as some oil production in the Gulf of Mexico remains offline following Hurricane Ida, and oil inventories are down 6% from the five-year seasonal average. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Increasing freight rail rates put additional pressure on farm and ranch income.
The cost of shipping commodities on domestic rail systems is rising, and it's putting pressure on U.S. farmers and ranchers' bottom lines. Daniel Munch, associate economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says rail rates on agricultural goods have risen as much as 18%.
One of the main takeaways from our research was a clear increase in the cost of shipping agricultural commodities on domestic rail systems. Rail rates on corn have gone up 13%, on soy have gone up 11%, and on wheat 7% over the past 5 years. Similarly, rates to transport ethanol have increased 18%, or about 4 cents a gallon.
Much to his surprise, Munch said the rising cost of fuel wasn't a primary driver in the higher cost of shipping freight via railroad.
Adjusted for inflation, rail fuel costs have remained quite similar to 2018 and 2019 rates, unlike what consumers are experiencing at the pump. They have increased quite a bit in the past year, but mainly as a comeback from COVID-19 related demand shocks. Additionally, demand for freight rail, from the ag sector at least, has remained steady over the past 5 years, with a few spikes associated with increased exports. So overall, fuel and transportation demand were not clear pressures for increased rail rates.
Munch analyzed shipping rates by origin and destination states. In both cases, Munch said states east of the Mississippi River had the highest increases. Reduced competition in the rail market is also playing a role in the rising cost.
In the ag sector, we found that over the past 15 years, non-competitive rail movements or routes not subject to strong competition have increased from 20% of revenue to about 43% of revenue. When there's limited competitive forces, this can incentivize price-setting behavior and disproportionately impact rail customers, like farmers and ranchers, limited in their ability to choose other options to transport their goods.
Learn more at fb.org/market intel. Chad Smith, Washington.
And rounding out today's show with a recap of some of today's top stories, here is AgNet West's Brian German.
There's still time to apply for the Drought Relief Waterbird Program, which helps cover the cost of pumping groundwater on rice and wetlands to create habitat for birds. Wildlife Programs Manager for the California Rice Commission, Luke Matthews, described some of the eligibility requirements and the types of things that will be taken into consideration when evaluating applications.
You have to have the infrastructure and ability to pump groundwater, but we know that groundwater is a limited resource on its own, so there are additional restrictions around that. So we are very cognizant of proximity to rivers and streams, for example, or other areas that are experiencing issues with municipal wells going dry or groundwater depletion zones. The other sort of exclusion zone that we have is around major airports. There's more sort of fine detail about what sort of post-harvest treatments we're looking for. And so we want to eliminate any sort of heavy tillage because that buries a lot of the waste grain, which is a key food source for waterfowl. So tillage is acceptable in this, but heavy tillage would exclude people from participating. We will evaluate all of this and, you know, we consider some of the factors we already talked about, but then we also factor in, you know, habitat value, the timing, you know, the amount of water and the cost, right? So all of that goes into our sort of selection process.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is accepting applications for two programs designed to benefit specialty crops. Proposals are being accepted for the 2022 Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. Proposals for the 2021 Specialty Crop Multi-State Program are also being accepted. Grant awards for the Block Grant Program will range between $100,000 to $500,000 per project. Concept proposals will need to be submitted electronically using the Financial Assistance Application Submittal Tool by Friday, October 8th. The multi-state program is designed to strengthen the competitiveness of specialty crops, with grant awards ranging between $250,000 to $1 million per project. The deadline to submit an application to CDFA is Thursday, November 4th. Participating states will have until December 6th to submit an application to USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at AgNet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German AgNet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal AgNet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.